Well, Pinky, this is the Fae Driver. We're on a very special mission today. Today we are going to collect Mark in Canada, and we're heading down to the big city of Vancouver to go see a play. And so it's very exciting. We're having a very exciting day here. Right now we're waiting for a train. This could make me late to pick up Mark. Here we're starting to roll now. All right, so the train has gone by. So I had a very lovely time with the girls on the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage, which occurred last night, Friday night, with Amy and Bay from Glitz to Grits, Grits to Glitz. Emergency Pants Bridget from Emergency Pants. So we had a great time. There were tons of listeners in the chat room, so thank you to everyone who tuned in for that. And perhaps you've already heard that episode posted, hopefully by now. So today's a different day. We're going to see, what play am I going to see? How come I can never remember the name of this play? Boys in the Band. The Boys in the Band with Mark. Heavy duty play, hoity mama. I might be crying after this. My mascara might be running at the end of this show. What if I have Kleenex on me? Well, anyway, hopefully Mark will hold my hand. I'm just on my way to pick him up, so I'm going to just pause for now. And maybe when we get Mark in the car, he'll let us record the podcast. And we'll have a tete-a-tete with Mark as we drive towards Vancouver. As we head into Vancouver and I try to scare him in the sports car. Scotty, this could be you. Sitting beside me. Anyway, okay, folks, we'll see you in a bit. Okay, so we are recording, and I have no idea if we're being heard, so.
Hello there. But I was just gonna say, I mean, I think that I noticed, though, after that, after November, that there was a lull, and it seemed like people got so burned out during that month that then there were very few podcasts to listen to.
Right.
So,
there was a collective vacation or something.
I think part of it was the December holidays, but also just it seemed like people were just exhausted people, and yeah. I don't think you want podcasting to become this chore or something that you have to do just to get it out there. And I think. I'm glad I didn't participate in it, because you didn't participate.
No, I did not. No. I participated as a listener to a very few of those shows, just because those podcasters are important to me. But and in fact, I picked up the odd new podcast too, like the Geeky Gay. I picked that up from Napod Pomo.
Right. Yeah. I don't think he made it all the way through November, but yeah, he did, I think, about halfway.
Yeah. But definitely I didn't, I skipped some of those Napod homeowners because I couldn't bear the responsibility of listening.
Yeah, to a lot. I have a hard time keeping up with Big Fatty because he does that, like, all year round.
Right.
It seems like.
I found, too, doing a live show, there's a lot of, I put in, not a lot of effort, but a certain amount of time and energy that I invest in getting my show, my live show ready, and it's a big commitment.
Yeah. Do you spend a lot of time on post-production, like editing?
I do a little bit of pre-production. I do lining up of guests, and thinking about who to invite and trying to get guests that can build a cohesive sort of central theme of a sort, and getting them invited, and
thinking up the topics that we're going to talk about. And yeah, I do post-show. I've got lots of post-show editing that I do.
Not to kiss your ass, but listening to this last episode that you did of The Garage...
Did you listen live last night, or the the one that I posted?
The one that was on iTunes, so I guess a week ago?
Yep.
I like that this is sort of a second generation of podcasting in a way, because it's like you're taking it... It's great to have the personal experiences, but this is also helpful, and it provides practical information. And it's like, it's a real topic, and I like that part of it. And it sort of got me thinking, like, what can I contribute to that end, you know? And I thought about, like, maybe we need a group show on money, or, like, personal finances,
right,
or something like practical information, stuff that people don't talk about, because I think we're up to our gills in personal journals,
yeah,
and group shows about nonsense and
sure, fluff.
You know, fluff, and like, all that's great, but now it's a chance to expand that, and now I'm really impressed. And I think it's really great that you took the bull by the horns and just started doing that. It's like,
thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad people are having positive reactions to it. That's good. I appreciate you telling me that.
Just the whole informative part of it, I think, is really... It's like, yeah, why didn't I think of this before? It's like, get a group of people together to talk about something that's real, that really impacts their lives, and it's a good idea. So you do it all by Skype, right?
Yes.
It's all by Skype. You don't have any mixers or anything, you're just recording from your computer?
Correct.
Yeah.
And I noticed you've been changing your format a bit, too. Like, you've been doing more interview-style shows.
Have I? I mean, I interviewed Scotty.
Yeah, that was great. Is there a part two to that?
Yeah, that's coming out. We just talked for an hour and a half, and I wanted to split it up a little bit.
Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Well, I noticed, too, that I find Scotty really interesting, and maybe I missed it, but it doesn't... I hadn't heard him, like, on any other shows.
Yeah.
So, and he was gracious enough to agree, and we figured out the time difference,
right?
Because he lives in the future.
Yeah.
So we figured that all out. I was talking... I called him, like, at 4 o'clock, and I think it was, like, 9 o'clock in the morning his time. It's like a 17-hour difference. He's led a really interesting life.
Yeah, definitely.
He's traveled a lot, and it was good to talk to him because I was able to fill in some of the gaps of my knowledge of his story and what he's... Like, what's the best place you've ever been? Or, you know, what's the worst place you've ever been? Because I don't travel a lot, so...
You travel more than the average person, though, I think.
But just around North America. I mean, he's been to 50 different countries.
Yes, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know how you can accomplish that. 50 countries. That's...
I know.
Incredible.
Amazing. So. But sometimes the interview shows are just interesting, just because I get tired of hearing my own voice. Especially since Timmy Sims asked for, like, my back episodes, so I sent him a CD of those. And actually, it was a DVD, because they wouldn't fit on a CD. And so I sent him those, and I just started to listen to some of the early stuff, and I was like, oh, Lord. You know, it's like Dour, and...
Oh, yeah.
No, you know, that's when I just stopped drinking, and I was just sort of a mess.
You know, it doesn't... I think your have a skewed sense of self when you listen to those, because I don't find them to be as dour as you do, I think.
Oh, man. I do. They just take me right back, I guess, to where I was at that stage of life. It wasn't that long ago, but still, it's like, yeah. And some of the audio quality is bad.
Yeah.
I was just trying to... It was an experiment. I think it took me a good 40, 50 shows to really hit a groove in terms of figuring out the audio. And so I appreciate that you listened to all that.
I cherish some of those, you know. I have some of those I've kept since you put them out.
Some of the cooking ones, yeah, I would probably, so the audio just wasn't there. I think the content, I had plenty of content at the beginning, but I think just figuring out how to do it just wasn't happening at first. So, but that's to be expected, I guess.
Sure. Yeah, I sometimes I can't stand the sound of my own voice either. I can't stand, I go, oh, I gotta edit this crap. I go, who the hell is this guy, you know?
But you have a really good speaking voice. Like, did you get that from... Because you were involved in theater for a little bit, right?
Yes, yeah. A long bit. Several years I did theater.
Oh, okay,
There's no doubt that I put on a persona when I do my show, I think. But... I don't consciously use theatrical voice tips or anything like that, but...
No, I mean, your natural voice is suited to radio, or to... You have a pleasant voice to listen to. Did that come from... Like, did you learn to do that, or is that just sort of natural?
I'm just a natural-born talent.
Well, some people are.
Yeah, no, I guess... No, I don't... I have taken no steps to try to make my voice better than it is.
Just have a nice speaking voice, so that's good. I mean, that's a good thing to have.
But it's part of my whole, like, yeah. maybe that's not true, because in my work, of course, I communicate in my work. My voice is a very important part of my work, so
right.
I am very conscious when I'm working of how I speak over the radio, and it, you know, there's some very technical things we do in work, my work, to make sure that my ideas are being conveyed appropriately. So,
right.
So perhaps there is something going on that I'm not even aware of. But you know, when you're in theater, you learn how to speak clearly and with diction and to pronounce your words. And I mean, I'm not anywhere near as knowledgeable about speaking voice as someone like Auntie Vera Charles, obviously, but definitely I'm sure there's unconscious things that I do.
You don't use a lot of ums and you knows, and probably you have to get rid of that at work. Don't you have to sort of purge yourself of those verbal tics so that you make sense?
I'm always consciously, and one of the tricks of the trade is, before you say anything, make sure you know what you're going to say. So I typically at work will not speak until I've laid out a path in my head about what I'm going to say, right? Otherwise you sound like a tool.
It could cost lives. I mean, it's serious. Yeah. You're sending serious information, so you don't want to leave anybody guessing what you're talking about.
Right. So what's your plan, Stan? You say you want us. We're going to Asian restaurant. Is that what you had in mind?
It depends on how much you want to eat. But yes,
I'm
all
starving
Asian.
For starters. How's that?
Do you want all you can shove in your pie hole sushi?
Oh, no.
Or
no?
Then there's a Vietnamese place which is really nice. I think it's good. Do you like Vietnamese food?
I, you know, I. I don't believe I've had very much Vietnamese, so this will be great. I'd love to try it.
Okay. It's, yeah, it's right on Denman Street, almost to Robson. No, it's on Robson, almost to Denman.
Okay. Yes. I will.
That's why I'm not a dispatcher.
It's somewhere around...
You know where that big blue building is? God, that's my favorite. It's right beside the blue building.
What's the name of it? That's why I need to write, because I can't... if I write things in my job, then I can, you know, express myself. Or,
do you pre-write your shows? Or do you just... Do you have a list? I have a list. Many times before I podcast, I have a list of things. But I don't write out material, but... You don't write out material, though.
Not typically, no. But I find that the more prepared I am, the less editing I have to do.
I don't, why did I come down this road? Sorry, buddy.
That's where I work. Not at the old Spaghetti Factory, that building.
For the listeners to the Pink Wheel Nuts podcast, oh, yes. If you can hear us, we are going through historic Gastown in Vancouver. Gastown has cobblestone streets, which is horrible for your suspension, but it's a very pretty part of town. It's very old buildings, old cement and brick buildings. It's very quaint. Which is where both Mark and Mr. Anderson work down here.
Right. He's a little farther out.
Yes, he's more in the scarier part. Where does town go then?
We're going past Gassy Jack, which is the famous steam clock. It's just funny to watch people watch a clock go off.
And you probably hate that. Do you hate the sound of that clock? There goes the fucking clock again. Do you think that every day?
We're far away from it. I don't hear it, but I can imagine if my office was right next to it, I'd hate it. Yeah. I can definitely see that.
I used to work on Georgia Street in the Royal Bank Towers. And we would always hear the 12 o'clock gun going off down on in Cole Harbor.
Oh, really? There's a gun?
Yeah, there's a 12 o'clock gun. It's a cannon that goes off at noon every...
Is it in Stanley Park?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I guess I walked by that. Okay. I didn't know. Oh, okay. I've never heard it, I don't think.
Do you miss being here in the business district part of town?
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, I had a homeless guy tell me to go F myself, so... After experiences like that. It was kind of an odd comment, too. It's like, go F yourself. It's like, that's not really a terrible suggestion.
And completely unsolicited.
Yeah.
I presume.
Well, he called me a fag, too, because I wouldn't give him any money. So he's like, faggot. And it's interesting, after he said that, because I haven't had anybody call me a fag in a long time, but I remember when that word had a lot more sting. I remember when it's like, oh, they know, or, you know, it's like... But now
your secret's been discovered.
Yeah.
Horrors.
Now it just feels like, really? That's kind of tired. That's a tired insult. There aren't a whole lot of insults left, you know, and that used to be a big one,
was
to call somebody... And then it's like, okay, so, yeah.
Yikes.
What else you got? But then I saw him doing the same thing to an old lady. I was like, oh my God. I think I felt worse when I saw him doing it to this little old lady looking at the steam clock, telling her to go F herself. I don't think he called her a fag.
Oh, let me three people. Let's see if I can make a decision. You.
I usually feel worse when I see someone else being abused than when I'm abused. So So you want to park by the theater and then walk over?
Sure.
I've got this big old umbrella.
Okay. You came prepared. I was hoping for no rain today. I'm always ever hopeful that we will not have rain. Maybe consequently, I'm always unprepared for the rain because I'm just too
too optimistic.
Yeah.
There's always going to be rain. There was a day last week. I came out of work and it was sunny, and I looked up at the sky and I couldn't believe how blue the sky was. It looked so vibrant because it's just been so much rain, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And then with the And everything's in bloom, so it was the green of the trees and against the blue sky. I was like, jeez.
I know, when it lightens up around here, it really exposes how beautiful,
yeah,
how colorful Vancouver is. When you've been subjected to the gray dreariness, it seems to wipe the color out of the world, doesn't it?
Yeah, and then you can, when it clears up, and then you can see the mountains, and just like, oh, this is why we pay so much to live here. This makes it worthwhile.
I'll just park in front of that van there. We're here, folks. Thanks for listening to the Pink Wheel Nuts podcast. Mark and I are going to jump out, have some lunch, and maybe we'll join you again after the play. We'll do a post-mortem of the play, perhaps,
yes,
when we go
Good
home.
Good idea.
Thanks for being with me. You can email me at podcast@pinkwheelnuts.com and Mark at...
Just go to musingmark@gmail.com.
All right. Bye-bye.